Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're starting the second half of the church year today, the long green Pentecost season with its focus on the life of the church. The first half of the year, we focus on the life of Jesus, his birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension, in the seasons of Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, and Easter. Now we focus on the church in the world after the ascension of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit goes out into all the world through the preaching of the Word and the giving of the sacraments. And so with that as our focus, the gospel that we heard today seems to me a good place to start. The gospel where we find Jesus opposed and spoken against. As you heard, his family thought he was out of his mind when some of the Jewish leaders accused him of being demon-possessed. The things he said were revolutionary. And so the good that he did, well, that must be evil too. Or perhaps we could put it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the world thought that Son crazy at best and dangerous at worst. Now I said this is a good place to start this second half of the church year because that's the direction our world seems in many ways to be going right now. Christians and churches that hold to traditional Orthodox Christian doctrine are more and more being considered wrong and behind the times at best and dangerous at worst. This is nothing new. Though history changes and the church has been more acceptable at certain times in history than others, there have been times like this too, when the world thinks the church so dangerous that it must be eliminated. The first few centuries after Jesus saw the church under intense persecution. That all changed when the Emperor Constantine made Christianity the religion of the empire and protected it and advanced it. But then there was the rise of Islam and the Dark Ages, the advancement of Christianity again in the Renaissance, and then the attacks of rationalism, scientism, communism, and now secularism, just to name a few. But no matter what the tide of history, whether it's in good times or bad, from the time of Adam and Eve to time still to come, there has been a constant all through it. And it is this, that Satan is at work. Sometimes subtle, sometimes obvious. So when times are good, tempting us to be complacent and satisfied. When times are bad, trying to get us to hide and be silent in fear. When times are easy, luring us into getting fat and lazy. When times are tough, discouraging us into hunkering down and separating ourselves from the world. And it's not just the world and its history. I'll bet most of you can identify all those times in your own lives as well. Times when you've grown complacent with your faith and satisfied with your knowledge of God's Word. Times when you wouldn't speak about Jesus or the truth because you were afraid of what others would think if they knew you were one of them. Times when fat and lazy, the Bible didn't get opened for a while. Your prayers faltered and church was just going through the motions. and times when you thought, to hell with the world, and you decide to fight evil with evil instead of with love and forgiveness. And maybe you're in one of those times right now. Satan is working in good times and bad in the world and in each of us, trying to weaken and destroy our faith and snatch us away from our Father in heaven. So how good then to hear these words from Jesus today, to kind of set the stage for the whole second half of the church year and the life of the church and our life in it. When in response to those who oppose him, he says he is not demon-possessed and he is not fighting evil with evil. He's not even against them either. In fact, he has come to save them by binding Satan and plundering him. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then he may plunder his house. And so what happened at the time of Jesus, what was truly so incredible and revolutionary, was that God entered the strong man's house in the person of Jesus to bind him and plunder him. Now you may be thinking, it sure doesn't look like it. Just look around at all the evil and false teaching and godlessness in our world today. Satan sure doesn't seem to be bound. And Jesus sure doesn't look very victorious. And perhaps that is true if you are thinking of the world as Satan's house. But is it? Consider what we heard from the Apostle Paul today. He said, we do not lose heart, even in a world intent on marching toward evil, and Paul's was. Why? Because though our outer nature is wasting away, our world is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now that's quite opposite the way many people in our world think today, thinking that it's what I can see and feel that's real, that's lasting, and what I cannot see, the spiritual, is uncertain and transient. But the truth is just the opposite. And so it's not this world that Satan is battling for. It's you. Your heart and your mind. If he can use the things of this world, great. But it's not the world he wants. It's you. What we see in the world are the symptoms of the larger problem. The corruption and enslavement of hearts and minds that he has been able to accomplish. And so that's the battlefield. And that is precisely where Jesus has come to bind the strong man and plunder him. To free hearts and minds enamored with sin and captivated by evil. And turn them to him in repentance and faith. And that's why the weapon that Jesus used looks so senseless and stupid to the world. For how can a captive, crucified one set us free? How can death give life? How can shame give honor? In the world it can't. Jesus is out of his mind. But on the battlefield of your heart and mind, the Word of God is the power of God to set people free. It is the forgiveness of sins that binds Satan and strips him of his power. It is the truth that sets our minds on the things that are eternal. For on the cross, what could be seen, Satan looked powerful. But in the resurrection, he is exposed. God's love and life is more powerful than sin and death. And so for those bound in sin and death, you and me, Jesus' resurrection binds the one who has bound us. And so set us free. And that binding and freedom is now accomplished for us where that cross and resurrection is now for us today in the preaching of the Word and the giving of the sacraments. These weapons look senseless and stupid in worldly terms too. Water, words, bread, and wine aren't weapons. Oh, but they are when the Holy Spirit is in them, making them the very means through which Satan is bound still today. For through them the Holy Spirit is working, cleansing hearts, freeing minds, and feeding souls. Neglect these and despise the Spirit who works through them and gives forgiveness through them. Neglect these and let Satan loose in your heart and mind and face a dangerous eternal reality. But remain in these and Satan is muzzled, bound, weakened, and plundered. Your heart and mind claimed by the Spirit for Christ, for life, and for eternity. An eternity that's not just some distant, far, dreamy future hope that we'll get to enjoy someday, but an eternity that has begun already now. A new reality, a new family, and a new life that Jesus provided for you already now. For Jesus looked about at those who sat around him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." That's how he looks at you. And how we can now look at each other. That doesn't diminish our earthly relationships, but adds to them. And it doesn't mean we won't have any problems. As you know, families have plenty of problems and often fight and disagree. Churches too. But it does mean that something else now defines us. Not just the family we're physically born into, but the family we're spiritually born into through water and the Word. The family we have Sunday dinner with. The family we sorrow with, rejoice with, and live with in forgiveness and in faith. And as we do, this happens too. Jesus continues bruising the serpent's head. As you know, he is the offspring of the woman spoken of to Eve in the garden in Genesis, who would bruise the serpent Satan's head through his cross, and he still is. But know this too. Every time a person is baptized into this family, every time you hear the Word of God and keep it, Every time you give forgiveness instead of holding a grudge. Every time you pray. Every time you do good works instead of lashing out. Every time you speak the truth. Every time you help and love and live as the child of God you are. You know why Satan is so mad when you do those things? Because it's his head you're doing them on. It's his head continuing to be bruised. It's like a multitude, a myriad of little Christs and little heels all banging onto his head. A constant drumbeat, a constant bruising. The triumph of Jesus on the cross continuing through his Spirit in those who belong to him. Which puts a little different spin on things, doesn't it? On your life and what you do, even makes it kind of fun. And if Satan flips out and goes crazy against us because of it, and shouldn't we expect him to? And if the world turns against the church, no worries. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the confidence we have in Jesus. Through his Spirit given to us, making us sons of the Father. So as we sang, Satan may have designed our fall, but Jesus has accomplished our salvation, and he is greater. The strong man is bound by the stronger man, and you belong to him. So that's a good note to start off this second half of the church year, don't you think? But not only today. Remember, believe, rejoice, and live this every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.